Okay, before we begin tonight, I want just to amend one thing that I might have said last week. I'm not sure. I think I did. That is for a lefty putting on their shoes. So I think, did we do that last time? Wasn't that the...
Oh, we
talk about okay, so that's why you don't remember. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we did. So, yes, on page 8, he says, therefore, shoes should be put on the following manner. First, the right shoe should be put on, then the left, then the shoelace of the left tied, and then the shoelaces of the right. And the reason, the idea there is because we put on the right shoe first, because right is more important. Then you put on the left, and then you tie the left first. Why do you tie the left first? The answer is because for tying, meaning tefillin is the paradigm of tying, or the prototype, I should say, of tying. So therefore, when we tie on tefillin, unfortunately for most people, it's on the left side. So I think I mentioned, what does the lefty do? So I just want to clarify that a lefty, so everyone understand, for righties, it's put on left shoe, put on right shoe, put on left shoe, tie left shoe, tie right shoe. For a lefty, the right is still more important as far as covering, but as far as tying for a lefty, I think I mentioned this also, right is more important because us lefties put on our tefillin on our right arm. So therefore, the halakha is like this. We put on our right shoe and tie it. Then put on the left shoe and tie it. Okay? I just want to clarify that.
I have a question.
Yeah, it's for both. It's the concept.
If you've
discussed
it, just let me know about the case. What about a woman covering her hair all the time? Mm-hmm. And then
what about her? It's a separate issue.
And stuff. Well, I don't know. I'm on page 8 at covering one's hair.
Right, but that's for I think he was referring to a man, right?
It is improving. Well,
yeah, he was talking about.
I don't think I should stick it in there, so just let me know when I should stick it in.
Well, probably be, I didn't look that much for, but I assume it will be by Shema. But that's where the halakhas are.
Okay,
so I think so last week we also started, I believe, about tefillah. We started discussing tefillah, right? Isn't that what we started on? So I think we got up to page 11 and we discussed the sources for tefillah. So the Torah says, we say by Shema, that we should serve Hashem with all your heart. And how do you serve Hashem with your heart? Go to a cardiologist? I mean, what does that mean? So the answer is, the Gemara says, it's referring to tefillah, right? Which really, when you think about it, a deeper idea, and that is, we all know we could mouth the words. The Torah doesn't say, with all your mouth. It says, with all your heart. So we know that heart is referred to as the seat of emotion and feeling. So in other words, when we daven, we all know that, like a lot of things in Yiddishkeit, the main thing is what you don't see. So somebody could be chuckling, and really they're not davening that well because they're concentrating somewhere else. Their heart's not there. So Torah tells us to serve Hashem with all of our heart, that when we daven, we have to concentrate, right? We have to focus. Okay, so I think that's what the last thing that we did last time. So I think we're up to page 12. I guess I'll read for today. I guess I'm hired. So times for prayer. So he's page 12. You can see there's only one number there, so I don't have to tell you what number it is. The three patriarchs fixed the times for prayer. Right? We got down to three times a day. Where does that come from? One source is from the Avos. So Avram instituted shacharis in the morning. So Avram davened in the morning. Yitzhak, right, we know in the Torah it says, Yitzhak basad lifnos arav, went out towards the evening, which means the afternoon. Yitzhak instituted mincha in the afternoon, and Yaakov instituted ma'ariv in the evening. There's a lot of obviously deeper ideas to this. Yaakov was the one who went into exile, so he does ma'ariv because it's dark. But we're not going to get into that right now. And also there's another idea, and that's what he says afterwards. We will offer our words, the words of our lips, instead of calves. Right, that's the pasuk in Hosea, a very famous pasuk. Neshama parim svasenu. That instead of the calves, we use our lips. That's the basic idea. The prayers that we recite are a substitute for the sacrifices offered in the temple. So, shachris, the morning prayer, corresponds to the korban tamid sacrifice offered in the morning. Right, the minimum. You know, the Gemara says that in a time of siege, let's say when there was a civil war between the Jews and there was a siege on Yerushalayim, so they used to send out a basket with money, and they sent up the people who laid siege on Yerushalayim sent up two sheep. So in fact, in the base of Migdash, there was an office, a lishka, that they had sheep. I think it was four sheep at a time because you needed two per day and you wanted a backup, right? The minimum korbanos that you could bring in the base of Migdash is two. And what is that? The korban tamid. Because the korban tamid was one animal in the morning, one sheep in the morning, one sheep in the afternoon. That was the minimum.
Why would they agree to send sheep up?
Because even in those days, the bad guys had some... No, so you're right. The problem was, the Gemara says that somebody said, you know, you're never going to win if they keep on bringing the korban tamid. So one day they sent out money, and they sent up a pig. There's a very interesting Gemara about that. We don't want to get into that right now. Yeah, a lot put his claws or whatever into the walls. Okay, we're not going to go there right now. Mincha, the afternoon, corresponds to the tamid of the offering in the afternoon, right? Like I just said, there was a korban tamid, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Some people forget about that. They think korban tamid, there was only one in the morning. No. There was two. There was one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So therefore, that's shacharis and mincha. And ma'ariv, now, the problem is you're going to say, well, the tefillos were parallel to what the avos did, but they're also in place of the korbanos. Now, there's one problem. No korban was offered at night. All sacrifices were done during the day. So what are you going to do about ma'ariv? Answer is, ma'ariv, the evening prayer, corresponds to the burning of the sacrifices parts of the night. Just the burn parts of the animal, of the animals, of the korbanos, at night. So that's what ma'ariv is for. So they didn't slaughter any animal at night, they couldn't do that. But they burnt animals, korbanos at night, I should say. And musaf, as you know, sometimes we have musaf, like tomorrow, it's Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos on the right. Is recited after shacharis on Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh. Corresponds to the Musaf, right? There was additional korban on one of these special days, on Shabbos or Yontif, or, right, we say in davening. When we daven the Shmon Esrei, we say over the parts of the Torah which talk about that korban that was offered on those days. So that's what we do. Our prayers include a petition for the speedy restoration of the temple, for the obvious reason, right? Our tefillos are instead of the korbanos, but we really like to have the original thing back in its original form. So maybe so that we may once again serve Hashem with the sacrificial service. The temple service will elevate our entire nation to great spiritual heights and closeness to Hashem. So I think we've discussed this at least in shul a number of times. The concept of korban. The concept of korban is totally twisted in our secular world. The concept of korban is there's a God and he has to be pacified, so you slaughter an animal and makes him happy. First of all, as we discussed before, Hashem is not a him. But anyways, the idea of korban in our terms has nothing to do with that. Hashem doesn't have to be pacified for anything. Rather, it's for our sake. Korban comes from the word karov, as you all know. It brings us closer. So the effect, I think I discussed this, I discussed it recently. If you came to the Beis HaMikdash, it was an incredible, I mean, we all know, thank you, Mr. Cohen, we all know what it is for a lot of people when they go to the Kosel, and what an emotional, I don't want to get into this right now, but for a lot of people, they go to the Kosel and they say, I didn't cry, and it was not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that person, right? But for some people, they go to the Kosel and it's overwhelming. We all know the stories about it. So imagine going to the actual Beis HaMikdash. We can't imagine what going to the actual Beis HaMikdash was like. But just very quickly, I'll tell you the idea that we really can't understand. It was a multi-pronged attack on your spirituality, for your spirituality. First of all, we all know what it's like. You know, there. And I hope everyone here, one time, shape or form, met a gadol, a real gadol. You know, anybody, Baruch Hashem, in the shul, met the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik, or Moshe Feinstein, or whoever it may be, a real gadol. You just see a gadol. A couple of weeks ago, Rav Aaron Schachter, the Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, was here. So just go to listen, just to see him. Just to see a gadol is a very... So imagine you went to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash, but they had the little son. But let's say two minor Sanhedrin, if you want to call it that, of 23 each. Well, okay, well, let's leave those aside. Those were incredibly great people. But then there was the Sanhedrin of 71 great people. Can you imagine? You go in there and you try to chop one of these people to chop a shmooze for a little bit. They're in the Vim. Choldahan Neviyah used to hang out by the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine if you're a woman, so you went to Choldahan Neviyah. Well, they're amazing. So you get a chance to meet a person like this. Then you brought a korban. So just the act of bringing a korban and seeing that, it's a very emotional thing, seeing an animal and visualizing that, that should be me, right? And then the Ikve Yaakov, the Rav Lachinsky, the Mashkiach of Varanov, the Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says that, a Kohen was not just a ritual slaughterer, but a Kohen had the ability to talk to people. And so, a Kohen won't just be, okay, next, the Kohen, maybe the Kohen, and the Kohen would talk to you, say, yeah, I had that problem, and I know other people had that problem, and they did this, and that, that was incredible. And then you saw miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the second Beis HaMikdash, can imagine what it was like going to the Beis HaMikdash, we can't imagine what it was like. An unbelievable experience. So we are spiritually hamstrung without the Beis HaMikdash, we have to realize that. Besides all the ripple effects, there's no nevuah, so you all know what that means. We discussed this Tisha B'Av. No nevuah means that you don't have answers to anything. A Navi could tell you why something's happening to you. But now, I don't know, you could go to a gadol and maybe they have a Ruach HaKadosh or something, but it's still not with that clarity. So that's why we always have to daven for the Beis HaMikdash. It's not just a building. We're spiritually hamstrung without it. The other thing before we go on to Birchas HaShachar I wanted to touch on is an incredible idea of tefillah. Mesil Sashram says that, I think I've discussed this a number of times, that all you have to know about tefillah, I mean, he doesn't say this, I'm saying it, is the idea that Mesil Sashram says tefillah is, you're literally, like I'm speaking to Jason right now, that's what you're doing with Hashem. He says mamish. It's the exact same thing, but no exaggeration. It's like you're talking to somebody, same way you talk to somebody. So that's exactly what you're doing when you daven, but you're talking to Hashem. An incredible idea. Incredible idea. So if we internalize that idea, our tefillah would be, we know tefillah is pretty difficult. And so, also you have to realize, we, especially in our secular society, we don't appreciate what speech is. Right? Okay, you say something. No, so I said something. We don't appreciate that when we say something, it has an effect. Really, it doesn't. I daven, And something doesn't instantaneously happen. So we think, you know, like, I don't see anybody standing there, so it's hard to visualize that it's like me and you talking to Jason. So I'm telling you. But besides that, like, at least, you know, if I dive in for that, win the lottery, and I go home and there's a pot of gold on my front door, okay, so that, you know, then, you know, you dive in that somebody is really sick, and you dive in for them, Shmon Esrei, and you wish, you know, you mention their name, and then you go home, and then there's a message. The person is fine. They ran out of the hospital. They ripped out their IV, you know, and they're fine. No problem. So then, okay, tefillah works. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. So what do we think? We think, well, we dive in, you know, like, you know, it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work. It doesn't, you know. So the problem is that it does. We just don't see it. So let me give you an example, which to me is incredible. We just went to it, 45 days ago. 45 days ago. That's Pesach. On Pesach, when we dive in Pesach, you don't say Mizmor L'Soda. Mizmor L'Soda, we say instead of a Korban Todah. Right? If something unbelievable happened to you, you have to bring a Korban Todah. I mean, so it's a separate idea that we say that Mizmor every day, like to thank Hashem, you know, I'm alive, I'm awake. And we discussed that before. But on Pesach, you don't say it. Why? Because the Korban Todah, as we talked about a couple weeks ago in Parsha, was Chometz. It's the only Korban that's Chometz. So therefore, you can't say it on Pesach. So, you know, most people say, what's the big deal? Say it. Say it. You know, what's the big deal? So you say it on Pesach. Aren't you happy that all the amazing things Hashem did for you in the last day? Say it. You know, it's not like you're eating chametz. The answer is, no. We see that if you say something in the context of tefillah, it's like it happened. It's like you did it. So you can't say Mizmor L'Soda on Pesach because it was chametz. And it's Pesach. You can't do that. You know, it's like incredible things. There's other things in davening also like this. You know, you can't fool around like that. It's like, okay, how can you say it if you couldn't bring it? So it's an amazing idea. If you say it, it's like it happened. And it's Pesach. And it's Chometz. So you can't do that. It's an amazing idea. So that's the problem that we have difficulty internalizing, is we don't see the instantaneous results. Sometimes we don't see the results ever, at least in our lifetime. So, right, we discussed this a number of times also, that sometimes the stifler says, that your tefillah will help in a generation, two generations, three generations. Right? Sometimes, you know, people say they're from, and nobody in their family is from, right? You hear that very often. Somebody back there davened. Somebody back there davened. So you never, you know, who knows? Who knows? Who knows? So that's the problem. We live in a very physical... I don't want to get into it right now. We live in a very physical society, but we live in Hollywood, which is all illusion. It's very funny. So we want the physical, and we're into the physical. But yeah, the phony baloney is fine. You know, something I don't see is fine because, you know, we live in this world of fantasy. You know, go to Disneyland, it's all fantasy. Fantasy land. Okay, so anyways, chapter 3, Birchas HaShachar, the morning blessings. Incredible idea. Number 1, we're on page 13. Every morning we recite a number of blessings thanking Hashem for His constant kindness to us. These blessings are called Birchas HaShachar, the morning blessings. These blessings were instituted by Chazal, by the stages, instill in us the realization that all we possess comes from Hashem. But saying the Birchas HaShachar intently impresses upon us that life, clothes, vision, and all man's other capacities and possessions are gifts from Hashem. You know, this is, I think we discussed this also a couple weeks ago in Shul. You know, the people are not happy or people constantly want more. They don't appreciate anything. If you appreciate what you have, realize, wow, you know, it's lucky I have this. The Chavos Avos says, that's why we have the morning brachas. And, you know, unfortunately, you see older people walking around, they're bent over. Don't you appreciate you could stand? You know, so many people have back problems. The fact that you could stand up straight with pain or without pain, but certainly without pain, is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, kev kefufim. I don't know about you, but every morning, many mornings, when I make the bracha, rokah ha'aretz al hamayim, by Hashem, places that land on the water. You know, we live in earthquake country. You know, like Kanainohara. You know, every day that we're still here and the buildings are still. Look at China, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, right? You know, like, Leon Harbor Hashem, you know? Right? I think, so, I don't know if you remember, but like about a year ago, oh, maybe a few months ago. So I woke up in the morning and my eye was killing me. I mean, excruciating. This eye was killing me. What happened? When I woke up, my eyelid ripped off my cornea. It was Ereshkigal. I couldn't come to shul. You know? So, I mean, Blue Eye Horror, it's amazing. You see the godless up. So they had to put a contact lens on my eye, and I couldn't come to shul that day. And then Sunday, the doctor's on, he takes out the contact lens. Cornea's back. And it's amazing. So, right? So now, when I open my eye in the morning, and I don't go through that experience. Wow, Pokea Fibrim. I'm telling you. So how many people do that? So that's a beautiful concept that we have in Torah Judaism. We appreciate every little thing. You know, put on and get dressed in the morning. You know what I think about when I get dressed in the morning? I mean, I hate to say this. You think of all the people who were in the concentration camps, and or things like, you read these stories about people who were hiding in the woods and running. You know, like, imagine how they lived, the clothes. So our problem in the morning is, should I wear this suit or that suit or this tie, which shirt, you know, like, got 20 of them, so, I mean, I don't, but, you know, like, which pair of shoes, you know, like, this is the big problems that we have.
It's a bad concept. What do women gotta do?
What do women gotta do?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about blessings
we're
for
gonna
a
get
long
that.
Time.
Yeah, so we'll get that, but that's too
so
early.
I'm gonna talk about
depends
what
who you go like.
And then also like.
I'll just answer it very quickly. It depends. The Mishnah Berurah says you should daven chakras and mincha. Chakras and mincha. Chakras means certain brachas, Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. Well, basically after Baruch Hu till after Shemoneh Esrei. A lot of women can't do that, especially if you have little kids. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky purportedly, I heard from a number of very reliable people, said that a woman will fulfill her obligation of davening just with morning brachas. The brachas we're talking about.
Brachas
Hashachar? Yeah.
That's all?
Yeah. You should say brachas at Torah also. Brachas. Yeah. Yeah, it's better to daven
I talked to God a lot to say free form.
You what?
I talked to God a lot.
Right, that's good, but see what we have.
Tough.
Right, but see, you have to realize talking to Hashem in free form is very nice. But the only problem is, I think we might have discussed this before, is that davening is compared to a key. Right? So, like we said before, in the old days, people were on such a high level so they could get through Hashem, maybe free form. But certainly now you can't. So this key turns on my car. How does it turn on my car? I have no idea. I have no idea. All I know is that if one of these little niches were off, it could be close. But if like that one little niche was flat instead of being slightly raised, my car wouldn't start. Right? Why is that? I have no idea. But all I know is when I stick the key in and turn it, it starts. So that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which had Nevi'im in that, knew how to... We're locksmiths to open up the gates of Shemayim. I'm not. So all I know is Anshei Knesset HaGdolah says, here, Summers, take this and use the key, assuming you use the key properly, meaning that this key will not work, even though they're both Toyotas, right? I could prove because they have the Toyota symbol on, which proves nothing. But anyways, it's, right, it's two different cars. So, right, you have to put it in the right way. You can't put in the wide end first. You can't. Right, you have to put your foot on the brake before it turns or something like that. So you have to do it properly, which means you have to have kavana, let's say, for the first bracha and things like that. But at least you got the key. You could still mess it up by not using the key properly. But that's the answer. You're right. Like I think Rav Rovda spoke about this here in Shul. That's good to Rabbi Victor Miller, Zechat Sagaracha, talked about that it's good to, like, I don't know if there's such a thing, if you're not doing anything, say, thank you, Hashem. Oh, so we had a few nice days weather-wise. Wow, thank you, you know, it was, you know, I don't live in Anchorage.
Women should not only daven, but they should do it in front of their kids. And he gives what he feels is the minimum.
Right, so but you have to differentiate between different things. You're talking about we all have to be cognizant of the fact that the way our kids are going to be is based upon our attitude. If you snowfall through a mitzvah, as they call it, you can't expect your kid to be excited about doing mitzvahs.
You should do it well in front of your children.
That's right. Right. I always tell people, all I needed to know about parenting, obviously there's a lot more, was when Avrami was very little, and I was davening. I think I wasn't feeling well. I was davening in our apartment in New York. I took 3 steps back, and I turned around, and Avrami was on the carpet, little Avrami, and he was going like this, shuffling back and forth. Right? What was that? An infant. See the parent doing something.
Sure.
So now if the parent goes, "Ay, Shavuos, you know, I got to eat cheesecake and I really don't like cheesecake and I'm lactose intolerant and I can't handle it. And then staying up all night, I don't want to stay up all night. It's, you know, like, I can't do it and it's so hard and I have to take off days from work." And so what's that a formula? It's a formula for non-from kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's a formula for. So that's a different idea. In other words, our children have to see us. Again, I don't want to get into this that much, but somebody told me, one wealthy man told me that he had, in the city there was a Vayat Staka, so he gave the Vayat Staka every year, like, I don't know, $2,000, said, any Mishul who comes, give him $18 from me, and tell him, you know, it's from me, tell him not to come to my house, it's theirs. So he was saying, well, isn't that nice? I said, it's fantastic. I said, but it's terrible. He said, why is it terrible? So because your kids never see you giving tzedakah. The kids never see you saying tzedakah. So I expect them to... Right, the Chofetz Chaim says this in... where is it? Like, Nun Chai somewhere? Tzai Beis. That, you know, if you allow your kids to run around in shul, or if you talk in shul, so what do you expect your kids to grow up as? They're the next generation of talkers in shul. So Baruch Hashem, and here we don't have that problem so much. But... But that's different than what are you obligated to do? In other words, let's say hypothetically there's no kids around. They're all in school, the kids don't see anything. But still you have an obligation to daven.
I understand, but the question is, like, would it be better, I would guess, it would be better not to zip through davening while they're watching you than to zip through davening when they're not watching you. That sounds horrible.
I didn't get the question.
It's okay. I'll try to rephrase it.
Mr. Cohn's waiting for
you. My mother didn't formally arrange me to be with her when she davened, but she picked a place where she knew I would be aware of it and what I was doing, and she didn't worry about what I was doing. She knew that I would see her and that I would come to understand what she was doing, and that's how she did it.
Yeah.
So if I daven brachos in the morning, so my problem is, I'm not a morning person, get up in the morning, I'm going through brachos, but I'm not, let's just say I don't look good when I'm doing it. Because I don't look like I have kids.
Well, don't forget, a woman, her main obligation is to make sure that the kids are okay.
So,
right. So
kids are okay, but
if you're davening and the kids are not going to get off to yeshiva on time, that's a big problem. Right? That's why women are pturos for mitzvah sessions among grandma. Right? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. A woman who had her first child call me once and she said, "What do I do? I'm saying Shema and the baby's crying."
Where's the baby?
Right, so you know that, but she didn't know that.
Kid. I love my tafke.
Okay, so but a lot of people get a little confused about their tafke. That's the point. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. The sages ordain blessings to be recited before partaking of various pleasures available in the world. A person is, right, the famous Gemara in Brachos. A person is forbidden to derive enjoyment from this world without first reciting a blessing. Whoever derives enjoyment without reciting a blessing is like one who misappropriates a sacred object. It's like you're stealing. Right. Let's say you eat a candy bar. Okay. We're not talking about cholesterol. We're not talking about candies. We're not talking about sugar spikes. We're not talking about anything. But you eat a candy bar. And you eat the candy bar without making a bracha. It's like you stole it from Hashem. It's Hashem's. You're a moel. It was something belonging to Hashem. It's something hekdesh. And you use it for your own personal purposes. Not allowed to do that. So it's an amazing concept. So Hashem made it that if we make a bracha, it's like you're asking, "Can I use this?" Even though there's no voice. yes, you may, but still by making the bracha, you have the right to now use something that's hekdesh, an amazing concept, which I don't want to get into right now. So that applies by a candy bar, but it applies by anything. Since everything in the world belongs to Hashem, taking anything for personal use without reciting a blessing is like misappropriating a holy object. Okay, now again, this is a story that we saw before. We watch, one of the reasons we watch in the morning is because you're like a kohen. Anything you use is like belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's an incredible concept, this whole thing. However, once a person recites a blessing, he is permitted to derive benefit from that object. Okay, so that not only applies to a candy bar, it applies to everything in life. Shoes, sight, standing on the ground, right? Everything belongs to Hashem. So, how can you use it? Answer is, you have to make a bracha. You're right. You have to make a bracha. Okay. Text of Birchas HaShachar. The text of the Birchas HaShachar appear in the Siddur before Shacharis, which is, we're so fortunate we have Siddurim. It will be helpful to study the following laws of prayer with an open Siddur. So maybe we should do that. Get the big one. You want the big print? Oh, here's another big one if you want to do that. I think we should all be on the same page. All righty. So using the classic, as the entire world I'm sure does, using the classic art school sitter, right? As one of our speakers in shul said, there's two time periods, before our scroll and after our scroll. Okay, so if you turn, okay, leaving out Adon Olam and Yigdal, so if you turn to page 14, so remember before we said in the morning as soon as you wake up, you got to wash your hands right away for the various reasons we discussed like a while ago. So, Birchas HaShachar begins with a blessing on the Teos Adayim, who has commanded us to wash our hands. See that in the middle, so to speak? Middle of page 14, after Yigdal, right? Rakat Hashem Elokim Malcham Asher Kisham Mitzvah Sovit Tzvon on the Teos Adayim. And we discussed this in the Drush a couple of weeks ago, the idea of whenever we do a mitzvah, Asher Kiddushanu, Hashem, you sanctify us. The whole idea that a person has to be aware of the fact that when we do a mitzvah, we're sanctified. Incredible concept that most people in the world never think about. We think about it a few times a day. We mention it. This is followed by a blessing of Asher Yatzar, right? See right after that? Asher Yatzar, who has created, formed the man in wisdom, in which we thank Hashem for creating our bodies. Again, we've discussed this. You know, we don't appreciate, but like I just told you, like the eye, we could breathe, that the heart works the way it is just like brain, forget about the brain. You know, I'm not even going to go there right now. I want to mention that Asher Yatzar is an incredible bracha, like I mentioned before, that we thank Hashem, we appreciate. Yecheskel Vramsky, Zeichet Tzadik Bracha, said that if you say Asher Yatzar with kavana, it's a skula if a person's ill, that they should have a refuah shleima. So it's a very powerful thing. And then after is Elokein Sham, if you, well, see, this is the what we're going to discuss. If you turn to page 18 in the Siddur, skip page 16. And this is the way the Mishnah Berurah comes out, that the way you should do it is skip the brachas on page 16. Page 16 is Birchas HaTorah. So some people do it the way it's written in the Art Scroll Siddur. But if you look in the Art Scroll Siddur, you can see back on page 14, we say, on the Teos Adayim, Asher Yatzar. And if you look in the little print, you always got to read the small print. It's always true. So on the page 14 on the bottom, it says in small print, at this point, some recite Elokein Hashem on page 18. Okay? So that's what he's saying to do. In which we thank Hashem for creating our soul. When reciting Elokein Hashem on page 14. When reciting Elokein Hashem, one should pause between the words Elokai and the rest of the bracha. In other words, you don't want to say Elokai Neshama. Hashem, my soul is Hashem. Hashem is Elokai, right? Rather you say Elokai, Hashem, the soul you gave to me was pure, and right? You thank Hashem for the soul. Okay? Now, let me just explain to you the reason why we do it this way. In other words, why don't we do it the way that's classically printed in the Article Sitter? In other words, do Antes Anayim, Ashi Yatzar, then the Brachas of the Torah, which we haven't discussed yet. That's page 16. Why do we skip page 16 and go from Al Netis Daim Ashi Yatzar to El Kain Neshama? So he might explain it later, I'm not sure. But, heard a while ago, but you have to realize that a classic bracha starts with Baruch Atah and ends with Baruch Atah. Well, let's say benching, right? The first bracha of benching. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Hazana Sa Olam Kulo B'Tuel, right, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Baruch Atah Hashem Hazana Sa Kol. That's a classic bracha. Starts with Baruch Atah and ends with Baruch Atah. Now, if you look at Elokei Neshama, Elokei Neshama is a bracha. Do you see any Baruch Atah at the beginning?
We need a Neshama to study Torah.
Okay, well, whatever the reason, but I'm just trying to explain why is it that he says, and Mishmura says, he's basing upon the Mishmura, that we skip the Birchas HaTorah until after Elokei Neshama. So as I said before, because a classic bracha starts and ends with Baruch Atah. Look at Elokei Neshama. Is there any Baruch Atah there? There's no Baruch Atah. Now, it happens to be that we have this challenge in other places also. If you ever go on a trip, so you say Tefillah Sederach. So Tefillah Sederach starts, Yirat Zom Ofnav Hashem Elokei 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 Elokei, right? Just start, Yirat Zom, may it be your will. There's no Baruch Atah. It ends with Baruch Atah. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah. It ends with Baruch Atah, but doesn't start with a Baruch Atah. So it's sort of like Elokei Neshama in its fact that it ends with a Baruch Atah Hashem, Amaksin Neshama Sklei Meisim, but doesn't start with it. So that doesn't destroy it, but we'd rather make it a classic bracha. So how do we do it? We have a trick. And that is if you put another bracha right before it. Now it happens to be, I know what you're going to ask. You're going to say, well, after Elokei Neshama, going the classic way, we have all the morning brachas, right? About the rooster, which we'll talk about. You make me a goy, you didn't make me a, right? All these things, straighten me up. Those just start with Baruch Atah, but they don't end with Baruch Atah, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashanah Son Sakvi Vina Elokeinu Vinyom Ve'ilayla. Doesn't say Baruch Atah Hashem Anoson Sakvi Vina or something like that, right? It's just, answer is that all these brachas are next to another bracha. So therefore, they're not going to end with Baruch Atah because they have a Baruch Atah right next to them. Everyone understand what I was saying? So we do that same thing with certain things, or at least we try to. You don't have to, but it's best to do it by other brachas that don't start with a Baruch Atah. Meaning, let's say Elokei Neshama, or Tefillah Sederach. Put a bracha somehow right before it. So, for example, they say for Tefillah Sederach, if you go to the bathroom right before, then you don't say Ashi Yatzar. Then you sit down in the seat and whatever, and you say, then you're at a point where you're going to say Tefillah Sederach, so you say Asir Yatzar, Rokat to Hashem, Mafli Kolbas, or Mafli Asos, Yirat Zom Ofanach Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Oseinu. Everybody understand the concept?
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing we like to do, you don't have to, but it's a nice thing to do, with Elokei Neshama. Poor Elokei Neshama does not have a Baruch Atah in front of it. So what are we going to do? Okay, so look at this. So but go back to page 14. So first we say Al Netilas Yadayim. Then here comes the Asher Yatzar, right? Just like we say by Tefillah Sederach. Baruch Atah Hashem, the Asher Yatzar ends. Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofei Kol Basar Mafilo Asos, Elokei Neshama Shanasat Avis Horohi. So now your Elokei Neshama had a Baruch Atah in front of it. And then you ended, Baruch Atah Hashem, Amatzin Neshama Sukaram Eisim. So you made it into, so to speak, a classic bracha by putting Baruch Atah Hashem.
You say Asher Yatzar, whether
or
not you
use we're going to discuss that.
Sorry.
We're going to say, preferably you should go to the bathroom before, but especially Shavuos night when you're up all night. But if you can't, you still say Asher Yatzar anyways. But it's better to, we're going to get to that. It's better to say Asher Yatzar anyways. Okay? Okay, so this is what we got so far. So we're going the Mishnah Berurah's way. We're going like this small print. We say, Al Netilas Yadayim. No, well, let's get over here. You wake up in the morning. Then somehow you get out of bed. For most people, that's the biggest difficulty. And you wash your hands right away. We discuss how you wash your hands. Then you go to the bathroom. Then you might have to wash your hands again coming out of the bathroom. Then what? Well, it depends on how you want to do it. Maybe you want to get dressed or whatever. Probably need tzitzis if you're a man. But anyways, at a certain point, now you're ready for morning brachas. So what do you do? Well, you have to make a bracha on Tilsa Dine because you just did that. Went to the bathroom. Actually, that's sorry. And also you woke up. And then you're doing Elokai Neshama for the reason we just did. So we got three brachas already. We got washing your hands, Ashi Yatsar, and we got Elokai Neshama.
I'm sorry. So should you go in, wash your hands, come out, say the bracha to
Mitzvah Yadayim? No.
Then go,
you
don't
do
them all up.
Yeah, that's right. You go. Okay. So you're going to want to go to the bathroom right away because if you need to go to the bathroom, you can't make a bracha. Anytime. Anytime, it could be any time of day. If you have to go to the bathroom, you're not supposed to make a bracha. You're not supposed to daven like that, anything. It's not right to make a bracha if you need to take care of your physical needs. So we assume that in the morning. After you wash your hands, you're unbrachable because we assume you have to go to the bathroom. Okay, number four. After that is the bracha of Asher Nasan Lasechvi until Hagoma Chasavim Tavim Mamayso. Now, then you say the rest of the brachas. Now, we don't do that. What we do is, and he says a little later, we say Birchas HaTorah at this point. So in other words, what we do is, Al Natil Sadayim, Ashi Asar L'Kai Neshama, then we go back to page 16, right, was it 16? Right? Page 16, we say Birchas HaTorah, which we're going to get to, not next week, because next week is Shuas, or Masei Shuas, but the week after that. Okay? We say Birchas HaTorah. Okay, but then we have the litany, if you want to call it, the roster of brachas, all the brachas that we're talking about before, which we call Birchas HaShachar. So we talk about Hashem gives heart, or the rooster, understanding, until Gemo Chasim Tovim Lama Yisrael, which is all the way at the end of all those brachas, right? Now, everybody should understand that this, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Aver Shnei Me'en Ayis Nama Pai Yiratzom Ofanecha, until you say Baruch Atah Hashem Gomel Chasim Tovim Lama Yisrael on page 20, that's all one bracha after another. One long. Right? That's one long bracha. So, Baruch Atah Hashem Amar V'Sheinu Me'nai Yisrael Pai. That bracha ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Gomel Chasim Tovim Lama Yisrael. That's the longest of the morning brachas. Everybody got that?
Another question. And going back to finishing the bathroom, I would wash my hands with soap and water, which I don't consider what you're calling washing. I call that washing for cleanliness, and I don't say a bracha. Then I do the ladle with the alternating, which I call laving, and that's when I say the bracha when I'm done with that. So there's washing for cleanliness,
right,
and laving for holiness.
But you should.
How do you distinguish it? How one should one do that?
We discussed that before. So
I don't
remember. Yeah, that was like, may have been the first year, I'm not sure.
I don't remember because I was interested in that.
Yeah, sure. You should wash your hands, lavering as you call it, first. Because the reasons we talked about, because there's a ruach ra on your hands, and you want to eliminate as quickly as possible. And then we discuss about washing with soap and water. We discussed this. Because you made a chart about it, so I know we discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
She's
like
the expert
first
on this. Can I ask Mrs. Friedman for her chart? She has a chart. Okay. One should not respond to her main upon answering the bracha Hamavir Shena, since that section is followed is considered part of the blessing. That's why I just told you. You know, there's a lot of people don't realize that. In other Sidurim, it's not written that way. In other words, if you look on page 20, right in the middle, it says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kein Melacham Avresh, Shreina Meinais, Noam Apai. Thank you, Hashem, for removing the sleep from my eyes. So a lot of people, I'm sure, wonder, why am I making that bracha? Because the sleep is still in my eyes, but let's leave that aside. So in the last Sidurim, then you have separately the Yehi Ratzon. So a lot of people think that there's another little bracha, Hamar V'Sheinu Me'ena Yisrael Ma'am Papai, and the Hiratzon is like a separate part. Right? Answer is like I told you before, no, it's one long bracha. See, in other words, everybody thinks that there's a bunch of little brachas, so the bracha Hamar V'Sheinu Me'ena is the last of the little brachas. Not true. The Hamar V'Sheinu Me'ena Yisrael Ma'am Papai continues with the Hiratzon and ends with Hagomel Chasavim Tovim Lama Yisrael. That, see that paragraph right in the middle? That's one long bracha. It's going to be important for later. It's important for Shuas, actually. But we'll get to that some other time. Did everybody get that? Is that clear as mud?
Yeah.
Okay, it was? That's not good. Okay. Okay, last paragraph, or at least for tonight. One must not recite a blessing or any phrase containing the words of Torah or Hashem's names if one's hands are not clean. For example, you touch a part of body or your shoes, as was explained in chapter 4, sections 11 through 12. So that's what we discussed before, right?
That's where the soap comes in now as opposed to the laving?
They both come in.
You
would have to wash your hands for different reasons. But if either of those reasons apply, either because there's a spiritual, I hate to use this word by will, a spiritual contamination or cleanliness issue, you cannot make a bracha with such hands. Either one of those challenges. And so you have to wash your hands either lavering, as you call it, or washing before you make a bracha. Can't make a bracha with hands like that. Okay. Emir Tzashem, any questions? Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know some people that will say a lot of these
brachas
at home, and then
correct.
And then other people will wait till shul. And mm-hmm. What's the ideal way to do that? Like
I'll just tell you, there's either way is fine. I'll tell you what I personally do. I make the Al Netivos Naim, Asher Yatzar, El Kain Neshama, and Birkas HaTorah at home. The reason is because I want to make them as soon as possible, because I make the Al Netivos Naim because I washed. I make the Asher Yatzar because I went to the bathroom. El Kain Neshama, Hashem gave me back to Birkas HaTorah. As we'll learn next time we get together, Bli Neder, you make brachas on Torah, so you can't learn Torah until you say Birkas HaTorah. So maybe I'm a little early for shul, so before davening, maybe I want to learn. You can't until you make Birkas HaTorah. This could apply, we'll get to that, that's the next session. Let's say you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're up for good, or for bad, depending on how you are. So you want to learn, hopefully. You know, it's nice and quiet. Like that's what the Rashiva told me. That's what from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning is for. You know, nobody's calling you. So that's the ideal time to learn. So you can't learn. You cannot learn until you make Birkas HaTorah. It's basically the idea we learned tonight. You can't enjoy something, derive benefit from anything that Hashem, belongs to Hashem, Torah included, unless you ask permission. Same thing applies by Torah. So you have to make, so that's what I do. I make the Al Netivos Yadayim, the Ashi Asal Kain Neshama Birkas HaTorah at home. And then all those other brachas, Asher Nasan L'Sekavina, all those other things, I'm making sure. I don't have to, but that's the way I do it.
If you do say them at home, you
so
know,
when you come to shul, you don't make them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Meretz Hashem.